Matt's going to speak to us from Ephesians chapter 6. I'm just going to read this now. This is on page 1177 in the Church Bibles. Starting at verse 18. We've been going through Ephesians in our evening services, and we've reached verse 18. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might declare it fearlessly, as I should."
Should we pray as we come to God's word together? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're so gracious that you are not a silent God. Thank you for this book of Ephesians and the congregation here who have been poring over your word and listening to you. Please would you speak to us now freshly and pertinently and powerfully, so that from today, from this evening, we would love you more. Amen. I wonder if you've ever stopped to ask yourself the question, or maybe someone has asked the question of you, does prayer really work? Does prayer really work? What does it actually do? Sometimes what we call unanswered prayer might leave us despondent. It sows seeds of doubt about God's goodness. Perhaps prayer is just plain difficult, and we struggle, really, to see any point in it. Maybe that's true for some of us here tonight. In the past, it's certainly been true of me. Other people say that prayer is about changing us, and whether we feel that it works or not depends on, well, it really depends on what we think prayer is for. Doesn't it? It all hangs on that, really. Is prayer working? Well, what do we think prayer is for? It would be easy, wouldn't it, to imagine, I think, the church being looked at by a secularized world and laughing at us, Christians, or at least feeling sorry for us, for talking to our imaginary friend. But I was surprised recently to read some newspaper articles talking about how common prayer is. So a survey last year claims that 45% of adults under 35 pray. I thought it was quite surprising. And 20% of those people were non-religious people. The Guardian newspaper described prayer as a celestial lottery ticket, in their usual non-partisan way. And they said, what are they playing at, these 45%? What are they playing at? Well, what are we playing at in prayer? And a lot hangs on what we think we're doing when we pray. So if prayer, for the most part, is a long wish list to which we might expect a yes or no answer about various situations, well, that will flavor, won't it, what we think of God and how we come to him in prayer. And the same is true if we think prayer is a sort of periphery duty of the Christian life, a little bit like writing a letter to your nan. You know that she would really love it, but it's not really central to your existence. Well, here at the end of chapter 6, Paul has something specific to say about the role of prayer. And it flows directly from everything he's just said in chapter 6. So throughout Ephesians, Paul has shown us that that God has made known the scope of his work in Christ, summed all things up in Christ. And that Christians are in a new humanity. They are one in this new man, in Jesus Christ, and they are to stand. They are to stand firm in the strength of God's might. 6 verse 10. and they are to stand so that they will not be tossed by every wind of human doctrine. They're to stand so that they won't be deceived with empty words, to stand firm and not be partakers in their old way of life, but to walk as children of light. And as the church, we're to stand as we put on the armor of God. That's how we stand firm. You saw that a couple of weeks ago if you were here. And it is God's armor. It's his armor. The armor of the warrior Messiah who brings salvation in Isaiah. The armor of the victorious Christ. God's truth, God's salvation, God's word, God's gospel, the faith in God that comes from God. And so, Ephesians 6, verse 12, we need God's armor because the battle, that is the Christian life, is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness and the evil forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So often we like to think, don't we, in a secularized world, that what is unseen is unreal. But that's not true. There is an ultimate reality in the heavenly realms, and that is where the fight is. And so we need the right equipment. That's what Paul has been talking about. Because if we trust to stand firm, if we trust in something else, if we trust in our head knowledge, if we trust in our past experience or our past performance as a Christian, if we trust in our intellectual prestige, if we trust in our family upbringing, in the reputation of our church, good things, but if we trust in them to stand firm, then Paul says, we're bringing a knife to a gunfight. Now, this battle is in the heavenly realms against the spiritual forces, and so we stand putting on the armor of God. The sword of the Spirit, the word, the truth, gospel, peace, salvation, faith. And in fact, all of these things are very much like putting on the new self, as Paul has put it in Ephesians. These things comprise the Christian armory. We've seen them already, right back in chapter 1, 13. They're all things that God has for us in Christ, in union with him. So you also, when you're included in Christ, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believe, when you put faith in him, you were marked by a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And so this teaching tonight of prayer flows from Paul's teaching of the armor. And so firstly, we just need to see that we stand by prayer. And so the flow of Paul's argument, if you're following it in chapter 6, is more literally stand firm, putting on the armor of God, through or with all prayer and requests. And so we put on this armor, and we do so by prayer. That draws on and lives out that dependence on this in-Christness, to put it like that. So when Paul talks about praying and being alert in 6:18, it carries all the force and all the weight of that idea back in 6:14. Stand! We are praying through the fight. So prayer is foundational to how we stand in the strength of God's might. And you see how fundamental prayer is in all those alls down in the passage. All kinds of prayer and request, always being alert for all the Lord's people. If I can put it like this, Christians stand on their knees. Christians stand on their knees, or they will not stand at all. And so we appropriate, we take on this armor, we benefit from this armor through prayer. But the armor in and of itself is not enough. Some of you will know that in the last few years, the Star Wars series has been rebooted by Disney. Maybe that's your thing and maybe it's not. But in the last few years, the first film, The Force Awakens, and there's two protagonists in it. There's Kylo Ren. He's a bad guy, and we know that because he wears black cloaks and scowls a lot, so he's a baddie. And then there is a girl called Ray. And towards the end of the film, they're engaged in battle together. Now, we know that earlier in the film, Ray has acquired the lightsaber, the sort of laser sword, of Luke Skywalker. He's the great Jedi master from the earlier films in the 80s. And now she has his actual lightsaber. And as they engage in battle, it doesn't really go too well. And she's kind of getting beaten quite a bit. And then there is a close-up. And Kylo Ren, the bad guy in the black cloak and scowling, he says, "You need to know the ways of the Force." And at this moment, there's a little close-up, there's a penny drop moment in Rey, and she realizes, of course, I need to use the Force. And she does whatever mystical, strange thing they do in a galaxy far, far away. And she jumps right back up, and she starts, and all of a sudden, she can use Luke Skywalker's lightsaber, and she wins that battle. The point is that the weapon itself was not the answer. She was relying on the Force, and it worked. Now, let's just pause and be clear. We're not saying that prayer or the Holy Spirit is like the Force in Star Wars. Okay, let's not say that. Julian and Matt will be after me, and we'll be having words to say. We're not saying that, but the point is that God, the armor of God, is used through prayer and with prayer. That's the point. We only have this armor in Christ and dependent on him and reliant on him and in union with him. So that's the particular place of prayer that Paul is encouraging here. So we stand by praying. Well, what will that mean? Paul goes on to tell us two things. Firstly, we stand by praying, being always prayerful, so that we stand in the Spirit. So Paul fleshes out what he means, and he goes on to say, praying at all times, all occasions, in the Spirit. Well, let's just take that last bit first, in the Spirit. And in the Spirit here, it doesn't mean that we switch into some kind of special mode of praying that's detached or mystical in some way. No, in fact, it's quite the opposite. Very simply, praying in the Spirit is genuine, authentic, everyday Christian praying. That's how Christians pray. We pray in the Spirit as he guides, he leads, he teaches, he speaks for us. In fact, we can remind ourselves, can't we, of the Spirit's work in Ephesians. So, 2:18, in Christ, we have access in the Spirit to the Father. 3:16, Paul prays that the church will be strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man. 5:18, Paul says that we should be filled with the Spirit. So can you see this ministry of the Spirit has to do with the workings of our inner person and our union with Christ at the deepest level of who we are. There is an intimate fellowship that we enjoy with God himself. The Spirit is in us, and yet we're described as being in Christ. So these perspectives, this biblical language on to tell us about the intimacy that we have with God. And so praying on the Spirit is relying on him. Prayer is dependent, isn't it? Engaging with that reality. And so in his power, the Spirit leads us to attend to God and to call on him. I don't know if any of you have been to the Fitzwilliam Museum here in town. My boys are a massive fan of the Armor Knights section. It's a brilliant section. It's got all sorts of fantastical weapons and shields and all of this. But what they really love, which is a bit sad really, they love the little TV screen in the corner. And it has a selection of two-minute videos that tell you about how the armor went on. And so there's a knight, and he starts with nothing, and he clothes himself, and he puts his shield on, and his breastplate, and his belt, and his helmet, and so on. And with him is the squire, I think it's called, isn't it? Attending to him and putting that armor on. Now, perhaps in a similar way, we're relying on the Spirit to enable us and to help equip us with that armor of God. Some churches like to talk about being connected with God, don't they? I know what they mean, but I wonder if that can be a bit misleading. It's like the Holy Spirit is a sort of spiritual broadband engineer, you know, and sometimes our Wi-Fi drops out and we need to kind of hook up again. But it's not quite like that, because we always have the Spirit. But in prayer, if you like, the Spirit absorbs us into that reality and guides us, speaks for us, points to Jesus and his word. But we do know something else about the Spirit in Ephesians as well, before we move on. We've just been told that the Spirit has a sword, there in Ephesians 6. And so we're guided by God's word, so that our prayers, our content, our tone and response is a trust in God and what he has said to us. And so as we saturate ourselves in God's word, we find that we pray in line with God's will, with an understanding of the one that we depend on. As one writer puts it, we speak to the God who speaks to us. Which means our speech is shaped by God's own speech, by his word. As this writer goes on to put it, he says, there is an overwhelming pervasiveness of God's speech to our prayers. So we pray in the Spirit. We pray at all times, on all occasions, in the Spirit. And we're to pray at all times, on all occasions, in the Spirit, because the battle is always on. We battle to stand in the day of evil. No doubt there are particular days of evil in mind. But in this day of evil, this period of evil, the devil, defeated in anger, is lashing out at believers. So some of our days may not be marked by obvious spiritual attack, but it is still the devil's intention to bring down God's people. Perhaps one of the most well-lauded and favourite films of the 1990s was The Usual Suspects. I don't know if you've seen it. I particularly like it. And there's a great quote in it, which is actually paraphrasing the French poet Baudelaire, I think. And there's a great quote where the lead character says, "The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he doesn't exist." And the devil would love that, for you to think that you're not really in a battle, not unless something really serious goes on. And we can be left open to complacency, perhaps, over-familiarity. Or perhaps the enemy might prey on very good things, like the comfort the Lord graciously gives us in good times. And so praying in the Spirit at all times, we can arm ourselves with the armor of God. Lord, might I not be tempted this week to trust in my own righteousness? Might you help me, Lord, to recognize the devil's lies and to defend myself with truth, with your word? Because praying through the fight, it's not a crutch in hard times. It's the way we walk at all times. The battle is always on. Christians stand on their knees, or they will not stand at all. So pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Secondly, we stand by prayer, being always alert, so that we stand together. Have a look down in the middle of verse 18. Paul says, "With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So this point about standing in God's armor by prayer, Paul adds another thing, a little bit like a telescope. He's extending his point, kind of the same point, gives us a bit more focus on it. So with this in mind, that is, toward the goal of praying at all times in the Spirit to stand, what is needed is to be alert. Now, it's no surprise, is it, to any of us who have tried praying a little bit too early in the morning or even too late at night, that there might be the call to be alert or to be watchful. We sympathize with the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, don't we, when Jesus says, be alert, be watchful, and pray. And we marvel as Jesus himself perseveres in prayer. But there's more than physical alertness here. I'm sure that in God's grace and by the Spirit's power, God can listen to drowsy prayers as well. But here we're being watchful for the devil's schemes, for his methodologies, those strategies to bring down God's people. And we are to be alert so that we can persevere in prayer, that we keep going in prayer. Not only keep going in prayer over one issue that remains unresolved, we can all know what that feels like, and we must do it. When we petition the Lord day after day and year after year, but we're to be alert at all times to persevere. And that will enable us to keep praying with all petition for all the saints. So that we're being always alert so that we can stand together. Paul's talking to the church. He wants everyone to stand firm. Pray for the saints, all Christians, and persevere for them in prayer. And so we can be watchful, we can be alert for each other. But sometimes in those particular days of evil, if we're not prepared, if we feel beaten, what a privilege and what an encouragement and what a joy to know that your brothers and sisters are praying for you. When we're overburdened and tempted to be bitter at God, perhaps moving away from him in prayerlessness, the prayer of God's people is a blessing to us. And that petition, those requests, they flow, don't they, from a real knowing and a real care and a real watchfulness for each other. And it's a big, big ask, but it's a real privilege. We get to pray to God. We get to pray to the infinite God who was listening to us. We have all of God at all times working for all the saints. You see, when we pray, there's no putting you on hold. There's no triage. There's no press one for family bereavement. Press two if you're praying about an annoying home group member. Press three for your church. There's none of that. All of God is listening and for us, and he is willing to equip us. And so we are watchful and alert so that we stand together. It's amazing when Christians pray for one another. And sometimes that can even be quite surprising. I think of a friend of mine who sent a WhatsApp message some time ago to a group of us. And he had a message from a fairly well-known Christian leader, which said, "Hi, Will. I just wanted to know that. Just wanted to let you know that I'm praying for you this morning." And I'm not sure if it said, "Is there anything I can pray for?" It may have done. And Will sent a text back going, "I'm not sure you've got the right person. We only met once back in whenever." And the text came back, no, I'm praying for you. On the list. Isn't that amazing? And so here at Eden, will you commit yourselves to praying for one another? Always being alert so that you would stand together. Will you be intentional at being a genuine part of each other's lives so you know what you're praying for, so that you can be watchful? As the students return now in the next few weeks and the shape of church family changes a bit, will you take them under your wing? Will you minister to them? Will you pray for them? These students will need church family more than they will need each other. Will you persevere for prayer for them? And lastly, in talking of all saints, Paul expands the prayer for himself. And he says, verse 19, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Even the Apostle Paul knows that his work will only happen in God's strength. He wants fearless gospel proclamation because that is part of the battle too. You see, the devil is not only fighting against Christians, he's fighting against the gospel. The devil is defeated, and in lieu of being able to attack and hurt God himself, he will always attack God's people and God's word. And Paul wants power and words and prayer to make known the mystery, which we know from Ephesians, don't we, is that mystery of the gospel where God makes a new humanity out of Jews and Gentiles, and he brings them together in Christ Jesus as a cosmic billboard declaring his grace. Not only is the devil on the warpath against believers, he's on the warpath against unbelievers. And he'll do anything to keep the gospel away. Because the gospel glorifies God. And it proclaims his victory in the heavenly realms. You see, the devil is not on the side of unbelievers. People who are still rejecting God. He's out to destroy all humanity because they are made in the image of the God he hates. Pray also for me, says Paul, for fearless gospel proclamation. And that's not just a prayer for apostles or overseas missionaries even. It's a prayer for mum's group school gate missionaries. It's a prayer for annoying colleague outreach work on a rainy Tuesday. It's a prayer for gospel advance among lifelong family skeptics at awkward family events. Lord, would you please give me words and an opportunity to bring the life-giving gospel? And so that gospel work of the reigning Lord Jesus in the heavenly realms, appropriated by believers through prayer, is how we will stand against the devil and against that battle in the heavenly realms. This is so encouraging. God has not, he's not thrown us into an unwinnable suicide mission because Christ has already conquered. And the armor we rely on with prayer has not only won the fight, this armor is the victory itself. And so prayer then isn't a red Perspex box that we break in case of emergency. And it's not really an intercom by which we call on God for backup. No, prayer is the way that we depend on him and engage and absorb ourselves into that reality of that union with Christ, that access to the Father that we have in Jesus. That's what we're playing at when we pray. It's often been said that when you go to the cinema, it's not actually escapism at all, because we have our ideas shaped and morphed and enriched. And when we come out, blinking into the daylight, back into normal, uncinematic life, well, that movie or book or whatever re-enchants the world. And perhaps we might think that in a similar way, prayer is not escapism into unreality. No, faithful, committed prayer at all times through the fight equips us to enter the fray of battle again. Perhaps you've experienced that. I have. Intimidated by coming to God in prayer. There isn't time to come to God in prayer. I'm no good at it. It doesn't do anything. And yet when we've prayed, God has equipped us. And we step back, blinking into the light of the world, knowing more of what is true. Christ has conquered. His armor, his victory, is our victory. There is nothing more dangerous and nothing more advantageous to the devil's cause than a prayerless Christian. Like the weakest gazelle at the back of of the herd, the prayerless Christian, the one not fully reliant on the strength of God's might and his armor for the spiritual battle, is prey for the enemy who prowls like a lion. As the Methodist minister Samuel Chadwick said this, "Satan dreads nothing but prayer. His one concern is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks our wisdom. But he trembles when we pray." Study without prayer, that busy week without prayer, meeting other Christians without prayer, sending missionaries to the mission field without prayer, reading or writing wonderful Christian books without prayer, preparing sermons without prayer, well, the devil has nothing to fear. So let's encourage one another tonight. Find people to pray with. Learn prayer, practice prayer, love prayer, pray until you pray, praying through the battle that's always on, so that we may stand in the day of evil. Christians stand on their knees, or they will not stand at all. Let's pray together now. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of prayer, that in Christ Jesus, through your Spirit, we have access to you to stand firm. Father, would you be our strength? Would you be the one that we are dependent on in good times, bad times, all times? Father, would we be alert that we would persevere in prayer for one another, that all of us here in this room would be able to stand because of your grace and your goodness to us. Pray that you would help us in prayer this week and beyond. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.